Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 29th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, today is the self-imposed deadline lawmakers have set to agree upon money for the farm bill. If they fail, the old farm bill could be extended or reverted to the original bill from the first half of the last century. And Senate lawmakers are calling for an overhaul of the meat inspection program. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then I'll tell you the rest of the story we started yesterday. You'll recall we talked about John Scholl's role in the U.S. EPA. Today, we'll learn just why it is so very and very important to American agriculture. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, the 29th day of February, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $10.73, down 96 cents. May futures at $10.86, off 79. And July down 57 at $10 even. We should check in on the numbers from the Minneapolis Grain Exchange for wheat as well. March spring wheat at $18.25, unchanged on the day. May futures at $15.90, down just 10¾ cents. From the corn market in Chicago, the nearby contract traded at the end of the day, $5.46, up 2¾ cents for the March. May futures at $5.56½, up a quarter for the day. And July futures up 3/4 at $5.68½. September's at $5.65¼, down 3/4. March soybean futures, $15.22, up 23½. May up 24 at $15.36½. July at $15.46, up 22¼. And November beans at $14.26, up 2 cents. March bean meal, $2.20 higher at $3.75.70. March bean oil at $68.15, up 170. February live cattle futures, 92.97½, down 57½. The March contract at 103.65 for the feeders finished a dollar lower. And the April lean hog futures finished the day at $59.95 a hundredweight. They were down $1.30 on the afternoon. Outside markets now for the day. Crude oil futures, nearby April contract at 101.80. That's down 79 cents a barrel. The May futures at 101.75, down 50 cents on the day. And the CRB index at 412.65 is down 0.83 for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 12,313. And that's down just about 268 points for the day.
The WILL All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for Tuesday, March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got a terrific lineup, including nationally known speakers Dan Bossi and Glenn Ring. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will give us the early word on planning. We'll dig into estate planning with Bill Moore of WB Moore Incorporated, and we have panels on corn and soybeans. The cost is just $13 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch buffet. Registration begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:15 a.m. Central. The 2008 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is made possible with support from the Andersons, Cargill, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company.
Here's what the two-state forecast looks like around this evening, anyway, from our own Mike Soley says in northern sections. And in eastern Indiana, it'll be mostly cloudy. A few scattered snow showers elsewhere clear to partly cloudy. Lows this evening will range from 10 in northwestern Illinois to 30 in the southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 33 in the northern parts of Illinois to 55 in the far southern parts of the state. The agricultural highlights, a new storm system expected to become another major precipitation maker for much of the Midwest that will accelerate flooding in the northern areas of Illinois and Indiana. The storm will start with warmer temperatures and rain and then depart with dropping temperatures and a change to snow, the heaviest rain expected in the south.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, it is the last day of February, the 29th, and the numbers are now in for crop insurance. Here they are. Corn, $5.39.5. That's $5.39.5 for your federal crop insurance for corn, and the soybean number at $13.36.25.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the line with us this afternoon to take those crop insurance numbers up, along with all the numbers, is Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
Well, those are some pretty hefty numbers. Let's see, we were at 406 on corn last year, and we put a lot of corn acres in the ground, and this year we're at $5.39.5. What do you think?
Well, we need a lot of corn acres again this year, and a lot of bean acres and a lot of wheat acres, too. Spring wheat especially. So I think that's probably the major market function and why we got these high prices. I do suspect that, kind of continuing what Dave and I were talking about this morning, I do suspect that this could be a pretty good peak here in terms of the crop insurance payouts. 2008 may be a record year, and it may be a record for several years. And I say that because I think we've gotten to a price level and have attained a price level and gone higher and higher and higher for long enough that some of our demand is starting to give way. And I think, especially in the corn, the market is showing that as well. You know, we're starting to see the not just the feed and the food sector start to give way in terms of corn demand, but we've also got some planned ethanol plants that are now being scrapped and no longer on the board for being drawn up and being built. So you're getting the good side of the corn and bean prices right now. And I don't want to sound too bearish. I think the farmers are starting to feel this even more than we are, and that's what I'm picking up here the last 3 or 4 weeks, whether I'm on the phone with clients or whether we've been out traveling around the country. Clients and farmers are getting very, very nervous that this is too much, too fast, too soon, and we need to calm these markets down. And we tried to break them probably, 2 or 2.5 months ago. Didn't want to do it because we had some South American weather problems and China lit up. We tried to break them again this week in terms of, it looked like maybe last week, at the end of last week, we were going to try and slow things down a little bit. But then all of a sudden the outside markets jumped. Crude oil went up 3% this week alone. The dollar went down 2.5% this week alone. China's weather came back in the market again. So I think you're obviously the crop insurance policies are starting to work very well with what the Board of Trade's doing and what the funds are doing, and it's very good for the farmer. But the key still remains, if you take crop insurance, you still got to sell a cash crop. So the overall fundamental point of what we do every year and why we challenge Mother Nature and challenge ourselves every year is we still got to sell it. And the last year and a half, people have been rewarded for not selling it. But I think they're starting to come around that maybe they should start to be looking again at selling.
No, they've been rewarded for not selling it. They're reticent to make the sales. Generally speaking, most will tell producers you have to sell as the market goes up because it's too hard to catch it on the downside. Are you worried about that?
Well, we are now. I think that's where we have been since, 02, 03. We were always looking at overvalue levels that seemed to be very lofty, but when it all came down to it, those overvalue levels were underneath a lot of price action, and so we had to make a decision. When we work with so many people in the country, you have to make a decision on how do you manage that kind of risk, and it means you slow down and you cut back on the number or percentage of sales you make, but you do it on the way up because that way you can't average your price up. But I think, like we were talking about this morning, it's really important to put it down and put a marker down here and say, okay, the Fed rate cuts, the dollar weakening because of Fed rate cuts, are starting to challenge the currency markets to the point where it's making our products so cheap that we're not curbing demand, and it's making our fuel prices and energy prices so expensive because it's so cheap for the Europeans to buy a barrel of crude oil compared to us or some other country. We're starting to get to the point where the Fed rate cuts are doing as much harm in terms of not giving us price stability anymore and inflationary pressures as they are doing us good in terms of providing us liquidity and not letting our economy slip anymore. And I think we're really going to have to face that this next 9 months.
And we'll be facing it, and farmers, I guess, are faced with some serious decisions at this point. The first will be to decide what kind of product they need from crop insurance or if they're going to take it at all. How far along do you want them sold on corn, soybeans?
We really don't want them over 35% sold in cash-related sales for 08. We haven't put any 09 on the books yet, but I think wheat's a good example of what you just said, Todd. We ended up coming off our high from this week, $2.61.5 off the March high. We started last week, or we ended last week at 10.49.5 on March wheat. We ended today at 10.73. We're up about 23.5 cents. But my gosh, look at the range we had. And I think the wheat is starting to show us, and the Dow Jones is starting to show us what kind of vicious moves we can start to expect as producers. And it's something that Chuck and I have really tried to hammer, and the rest of us, Sherman and Bill and all the rest of the guys at the company, have tried to hammer with guys, is once you get in that planter cab, unless you can, you know, work 20 hours a day and sleep only 4 hours a night, it's going to be extremely hard to take all this and manage it once you actually physically get in the cabs and start working that ground. So I think it's really very, very important right now to try and put that all into perspective and say, what's best for my farm?
So I'm assuming this is the way you're working it, is that if you're at 30%, you're thinking that they'll be covered at 75 or 80% in crop insurance in some way. You're making sales on the balance of the crop, and then are you protecting it to the upside or the downside with puts or calls or something else, or,
yeah.
Or do I have it in? Or
no, no, you're exactly right. Everything we've got right now is protected and defended in terms of cash sales until we break trend lines and until the technicals tell us that a major high has been put in place in corn and beans, kind of like we're looking at in the wheat right now. We're going ahead and defending everything we sold at this point in the cash-related sales. At the same time during the month, last part of February and the middle part, through the middle part of March, we're going ahead and getting corn puts bought. Bean puts aren't as easy to do right now because they're still way too expensive and way too far away from the market. So we're having to explore getting into more of the cash sales and going above 35% in 08 bean sales, but we would have to defend those right away. Haven't pulled those triggers yet, except on guys that have signed seed contracts, get 60, 70, 80 cent premiums. Those kind of things we could see going ahead and being a little bit more aggressive, but making sure they defend those. Because if the wheat is any indication, then the beans could be the next wheat market in terms of if we do have further supply problems, weather problems, then the futures market can carry the load and carry the rally as well as the cash market. In other words, if the bean rally continues and it's cash-led, the futures should follow very nicely with it. So our cash sales should be well defended. But going back to your initial question of crop insurance, if you don't have a mindset of what you can afford to sell and those bushels that you may have to buy back to the elevator that you did not grow that year, and you know this coming year, and you have to sell them and you sold them too aggressively, please put that into the mix and put that into your plan right away, right now, and have that dollar amount set aside, because it could be $300 to $400 an acre that you're going to have to pay back to the elevator if you can't grow it.
We appreciate you taking the time with us this afternoon.
Todd, thanks a lot, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us on a Friday afternoon.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Just to reiterate, the numbers are in, and this is the way the numbers for the February came out on average. Corn at $5.39.5, the soybeans at $13.36.25. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, today is the self-imposed deadline Farm Bill lawmakers have set for reaching compromise on increased Farm Bill spending and how to pay for it. Published reports have indicated that number will be $10 billion, but congressional and White House negotiators have yet not agreed to a final figure. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says failure to find a compromise soon could mean a second extension of the 2002 Farm Bill. The current extension expires on March 15th.
We have to reach some compromise on reforms, payment limits, AGI limits, that type of thing. We have to do that. We have to have some agreements on loan rates and target prices for the commodities and some of the balancing that was done in the Senate bill.
Harkin says he's growing tired with a lack of flexibility in the Bush administration, and he suggests, as also does Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad, that the conferees should just move ahead with a bill and force the president to either back it or veto it. Senate lawmakers yesterday said that USDA should overhaul the meat inspection program, starting with a ban on the slaughter of disabled cattle and tougher penalties for animal cruelty. However, the view is not shared by USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer, who testified before the Senate Agriculture Subcommittee Appropriations Panel. Schaefer says, quote, "Rules in place today are protecting the food supply." Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says he favors cutting high tariffs on Brazilian ethanol to help take pressure off food prices. Testifying before the Senate Banking Committee, Bernanke said it's hard to say how much current strong demand for ethanol is boosting food prices, but he adds ethanol is raising corn prices. Joseph Glauber has been named USDA's new chief economist. Glauber has served as acting chief since January 2nd. And officials at China's Biotechnology Research Institute say the PRC is stepping up research and development of biotech corn, cotton, soybeans, rice, and wheat. China will launch a biotech seeding program this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to tune in to that program tomorrow. It airs on Saturdays, or if you'd like, you can pick it up off our website after 6 o'clock this evening. It's at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. One other news note before we move on. The director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture is leaving public service to spend more time with his family, as you already probably know. Chuck Hartke served for 5 years. Hartke's assistant, Tom Jennings, was named as the acting director. Now up next, when agriculture decided to add fuel to its tagline, food, fuel, feed, and fiber, it did a little more than just change a word. I'll have more on how some believe it changed the whole agricultural economy and the agency responsible for it. If you visit farmpolicy.com on the internet, you'll find a commentary from Dan Morgan. He's a special correspondent to the Washington Post and transatlantic fellow at the German Marshall Fund. The article is simply titled Biofuels. In it, Morgan argues the 2007 energy bill has changed which agency holds the most sway over the American heartland. Morgan writes, American agriculture still has not fully grasped the extent to which the energy bill shifted power over the farm economy to a corner of the executive branch where production agriculture has limited influence. He says in a Democratic administration attuned to the concerns of poor urban consumers and environmental groups, moderating food prices and protecting soil, water, and air could take priority over hitting the ambitious biofuels targets in the energy bill. Now, Dan Morgan factually states much of the language in the new energy bill was proposed by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Farmers will know the group as the folks who post their government payments online. In support of his shift in power theory, he states the biofuels provisions of the energy bill give the EPA administrator broad authority to scrap the annual requirements of corn ethanol, biodiesel, and cellulosic ethanol. Again, he writes, in consultation with USDA and the Energy Department, the administrator can waive the yearly requirements if she determines they would severely harm the economy of a state, region, or the United States, or finds that domestic supplies are inadequate to hit the target. It means, says Dan Morgan, EPA has a serious set of powers over the farm economy. Why? Because it can control the fate of biofuels by deciding when to turn on and off the mandates. Sometimes this would be based on economics of food prices, turn back the mandate in a drought year. At others, it might be related to environmental concerns. Imagine how EPA might react if corn were planted fence row to fence row across America on good and bad lands. there is a voice inside EPA that might well temper any knee-jerk reactions bureaucrats and politicians could have to the food v. fuel debate that's already heating up. John Scholl is a native of Illinois and a graduate of the Agricultural College on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. He says as the nation makes fundamental changes in how it is powered, literally, critical and important environmental questions must be asked.
And, you know, I think we've got a challenging period in the agency. I think we've got a challenging period in Washington as well as in the industry to be able to keep things in context, to understand that, yes, the net overall good of renewable energy and agriculture's role that it plays in that is good. It's something that we desire. But as we see this change take place, let's make sure we ask the right questions. Let's make sure we don't create problems down the road that 5 or 10 years we have to come back and clean up messes that, you know, hopefully we can avoid.
A mess that might resemble one Dan Morgan calls implausible but possible. One where, after a poor 2008 growing season, the administrator of U.S. EPA decides to waive the requirement that gasoline blenders use 11.1 billion gallons of corn ethanol in 2009. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On a Friday afternoon, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Farmers are probably calling in asking, what's the final price for the month of February, aren't they?
We're getting a few phone calls. I'll tell you what, the way markets have been moving back and forth with some pretty wild swings and trading ranges during the course of the day, it's a moving target to keep an eye on these things.
Indeed it is. The corn number at $5.39.5, the bean number at $13.36.25. That for your crop insurance needs. Let's talk about cash prices in East Central Illinois. How's it holding up?
It's not holding up too badly. You get the feeling that if we could see the board sit still or take a little bit of a step back, we'd see some basis improvement out here. But that hasn't been the case. Flat price-wise, shoot, we're up 28 cents on nearby corn in the past week, up $1.01 on soybeans.
Does that tell you that demand is continuing to be strong? And how far out does it tell you that demand will be strong for corn?
That, I think, is probably one of the key questions. I've been suspicious on sales out here that the import or the export type buyers have been front-end loading their sales and we would see them disappear later on in the year. And granted, yesterday's sales report wasn't really big, but they still seem to be following up with some additional sales. Bean side, surprising, we continue to see China in there buying some soybeans at a time when we kind of expect to see the export business get handed off to Brazil any week.
And the front-end loading is something that we were concerned about earlier in the year. I suppose eventually we'll see those numbers either give away or not. What are your cash bids for the day?
We are at 5:30 on nearby corn and 14.74 on soybeans.
Bruce, thanks much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
It's Leap Year Day. It's occurred every 4 years, except in century years not divisible by 400, since Julius Caesar reconciled solar and lunar calendars in 45 BC. Caesar had commemorative coins struck to mark the new calendar. In 1582, Pope Gregory XIII further refined the Julian calendar. By that time, Caesar's calendar had drifted a full 10 days off course. By the way, Russia was the last country to officially convert to the Georgian system, but only after the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. It's also National Surf and Turf Day. The origin of the term is not clear, but it appears to have gained widespread popularity in the early 1960s. On this day in agricultural history in 1736, Ann Lee, founder of the Shakers, was born. To commemorate her birthday each year on March 1st, the Shakers hold an afternoon meeting followed by a supper at which this cake is served. The original recipe advises cut a handful of peach twigs, which are filled with sap at this season of the year, clip the ends and bruise them and beat the cake batter with them. This will impart a delicious peach flavor to the cake. And in 2004, British actress Dana Broccoli died. She was producer of the James Bond movies, including The World Is Not Enough, where Bond learns arch-enemy Blofeld was brainwashing young British and Irish women to carry biological warfare agents back to Britain and Ireland to destroy Britain's agricultural economy. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take our Friday afternoon look at what's been happening in the world of weather. Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center joins us. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another weather pattern expected to bring some unique precipitation to us.
Yeah, it looks like we're not done with winter quite yet. It's going to be another cold week ahead, I think, next week, and with a little bit of mild weather at the start as this next system approaches. Over the weekend, we'll get some rain, probably most likely Sunday. Tomorrow should be a fairly pleasant day. Whatever little snow is left, we'll probably start losing. We're getting the sun pretty high in the sky now, so it's easy to start melting the snow, especially down here in the central part of the state where it is not very thick. But we got a pretty good frontal system moving in here over the weekend, late in the weekend, Sunday, Monday, which will bring quite a bit of rain, precipitation, at least it looks at this point, to the southeastern half of Illinois and much of Indiana. And then as this moves by, a secondary low is forecast to develop on this, and that could, it's going to bear some watching come Monday, Tuesday, as it could bring some heavy snow to parts of the Midwest. Right now, it looks like it could be mostly the Ohio Valley. But when you look at the models, ensembles, the different runs of the same model, the center of low pressure, they place it anywhere between western Kentucky and the southeast coast. So well, it's something that's going to bear watching, but it could be another round of significant precipitation for parts of the Midwest. And then we turn colder for probably the rest of the week.
When we talk with our meteorologist, other meteorologists, and you as a climatologist, they tell us persistence is one, something that happens from time to time in the weather patterns. That's what we're told that's happening with these continuing rainfall or precipitation events. Can you look back over time and see what that means to the severe weather season, or at least the start of it as we head into the month of March?
Well, I guess if you persistence, yeah, we always were taught as forecasters that persistence is the first best forecast. But basically what I think what we would have to say is if this type of active weather pattern continues where we have these strong weather systems moving through the Midwest such as they have for the last month or so, that does bodes pretty well for a active severe weather season. And because these haven't been weak systems, and as the weather starts to warm and we get more warm humid air coming in, and it's still early in spring, we have a lot of cold air still coming out of Canada, especially with the deep snow cover that's there now. The source of cold air will be there. I think there's a potential for a pretty active severe weather season. So that's what I'm thinking at this point.
And then on the climate side, how much soil moisture do we have, and is there any concern about the beginning of the planting season, which is still quite some time away?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Can you say too much? Rainfall in February in many places was over twice normal throughout Illinois and Indiana, and we've actually had more rain this February than we typically get in a normal May. So between the snow and the rain that's fallen and the snowpack still up in pretty deep in northern Illinois, Soil moisture is going to be plentiful, and it could be a problem as we get into the spring, but it, again, in the planting season, rather. But again, there's some time yet, and that could start to dry out, especially if the pattern shifts a little bit. But we won't have to worry about not having enough soil moisture. Let's put it that way.
Thanks much, Steve.
Okay, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here at the Illinois State Water Survey. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.